time for the Susan Taylor Podcast, where we discuss the yoga of mind, medicine, and healing. Author of Feeling Good Matters, Sexual Radiance, and the Vital Energy Program, Dr. Taylor imparts authentic knowledge and practical tools that inspire, educate, and empower us to be a healing force for positive change. So join us and take your life and our planet to the next level.
Hello and welcome to episode 39, CBD for Healing. Is it a hype or reality? More people in the holistic wellness world are turning to CBD for its powerful anti-inflammatory and anti-anxiety effects, but many are not familiar with the nature of the compound, which is creating a lot of confusion about its use. I had a few questions from our calls and asking about this CBD, so I thought today would be a good day to make it our topic of discussion. In today's podcast, I'd like to give you an overview of the science behind the CBD revolution and see if there is research strong enough to warrant the claims. Some questions that I'd like to answer: is CBD the same as marijuana? Is there science to back up the claims? And is CBD better alone or with THC for treating illness? Let's start at the beginning. CBD-rich cannabis therapeutics got its start in Northern California when they discovered cannabis strains that could benefit several medical conditions. They made the use of marijuana legal. People could actually use it legal. What you do is they'd go to their physician and get a prescription, and then they get a medical issue for it, and they actually can go into a dispensary and purchase this. And by 2009, this industry started to take off. Many ask, is CBD the same as marijuana? So let's look at what is CBD. Cannabidiol, CBD, that's what it stands for, is a cannabis compound that has significant medical benefits, but doesn't make people feel high or even that stoned feeling that those have claimed that have smoked, say, marijuana in the 60s, let's say. Depending on the strain of the plant, that will make that a difference, whether we feel high, whether you don't feel high, or how much THC, the active constituent that's in that. But I'll get into that in a little while. But we can say, therefore, that cannabidiol or CBD, because that's a separate compound, is non-intoxicating. It's the non-intoxicating component of the cannabis plant. It is well researched, which we'll see in a minute, for its therapeutic potential. Patients actually use CBD-rich products to treat a wide variety of conditions. For example, chronic pain, cancer, Crohn's disease. We could also see research on rheumatoid arthritis, PTSD, cardiovascular disease, anxiety, even some antibiotic-resistant infections, MS, schizophrenia, and even there's many more claims. Academic research centers in the United States and elsewhere are currently studying the effects of CBD on these and other ailments, actually. How does it work? Well, we'll look at the endocannabinoid system, which gives us a glimpse of really what happens. It's been established in science, so it's a scientific fact, that the cannabinoids and other components of the cannabis plant can actually modulate many of the physiological systems in the human brain and body. Cannabinoids are chemical compounds that trigger cannabinoid receptors in the brain as well as other receptors. To date, more than 100 cannabinoids have been identified in the marijuana plant. Of these marijuana molecules, we know the THC, which is the tetrahydrocannabinol, as well as the CBD, which is the cannabidiol. And they've been studied most extensively out of all of those cannabinoids in the plant itself. In addition to cannabinoids produced by the plant, there are also endogenous cannabinoids. And they occur naturally in the mammalian brain and body, as well as, again, we look at from a synthetic perspective, people are synthesizing cannabinoids, and That's, again, the pharmaceutical researchers that are doing that. But I can assure you that that is not going to be the same as really extracting it correctly from a plant that is rich in cannabinoids. There are research labs that have found the best results in treating medical conditions were obtained when CBD was administered along with the THC. So the THC is that active, that high-feeling compound. But when they are obtained and administered, when they work together, there's been research that actually proves positive that that ratio has something to do with how well someone can treat a condition. Several studies are now showing that there's a therapeutic advantage for combining both of them, particularly when treating peripheral neuropathy, which is a painful condition associated with some types of cancer, multiple sclerosis, which is MS, diabetes, arthritis, as well as other neurodegenerative ailments. Clinical research conducted by a pharmaceutical company, it's a British company, GW, Pharmaceuticals, they've shown that CBD is most effective as an analgesic when administered in combination with whole plant THC. So they've done the work with the whole plant, meaning, you know, many pharmaceutical companies, what we find in our herbal community, they'll take out the active constituent of something, say for the turmeric, and then they just market that as being the healing component. Whereas herbalists understand that the whole plant works synergistically and it delivers a lot more than what we could even quantify. So it's important to be thinking on those terms when we're talking about using CBD or THC. As I mentioned, it was of no surprise to read that the whole plant extract is much more beneficial than just taking the active constituents. Whole, remember, when we do whole things, it's more of a balance rather than isolation. And again, it's the reductionist model that takes things in isolation and says this is going to work, and it really doesn't have the same effect. There's also been extensive preclinical research. Much of it was sponsored by the U.S. government, and that indicates that CBD has potent anti-tumoral, anti-anxiety, antioxidant effects, anti-spasmodic effects, psychotic, anti-convulsive, and as I mentioned already, the neuroprotective properties. CBD directly activates our serotonin receptors, causing an anti-anxiety effect, and that's usually done in the research that I've read in the low doses as well. Some research has even shown that cannabidiol can change gene expression and even remove beta amyloid plaque. And that's the hallmark, as we all know, of Alzheimer's condition from the brain cells. Again, we have to keep in mind source and dosing on all these claims and research papers that are coming out. So far, I've mentioned then that CBD, that ratio with THC, has a synergistic effect when treating medical illness. That's what that was just all about. But let's turn and see if there are specific ratios, that's the CBD to THC ratio, best for different conditions. I kind of gave you a clue when I spoke about anxiety being the low doses. Some patterns are beginning to emerge in the science arena, and that's mainly coming from patient feedback on these ratios. For example, some reports indicate that for anxiety, depression, spasms, psychosis, seizure disorders, the patients have reported using a small dose of CBD-rich remedy with a little THC is beneficial. For cancer, autism, and many other diseases, some say they benefit more from balanced ratio of CBD to THC. Extensive clinical trials are conducted outside the United States, and they've also shown that a one-to-one ratio of CBD to THC ratio can be effective for the neuropathic pain, for example. Remember, CBD to THC ratio, this is a very important statement, is not an indication of how much, that's the quantity, how much CBD or THC is present in a given cannabis product or strain. Some people use cannabis products with different CBD to THC ratios at different times of the day. Some use more CBD for sunlight hours and more THC at night. Almost any cannabis strain or product theoretically could benefit a wide range of autoimmune and inflammatory disorders because THC and other cannabis components activate what we call a CB2 cannabinoid receptor, which regulates immune function. But let's look at these statements for a moment and really analyze it. What we're doing here with the patient feedback, we're really saying that one recipe doesn't fit all. Everyone is so unique and people are able to experiment with themselves. I got involved with CBD when I had my big boy, my Irish Wolfhound, who was very, very lame. And I remember a breeder out in California suggested to me CBD oil. I had never heard about it. And what was so fascinating is I started to do the research then. And I did the research, the proper company, and I started giving it to him. And, 2 years later, he did enjoy his life for 2 years. I didn't have to give anything other than that. I knew how to dose it correctly. And dosing is the key, because I've suggested it to other friends that have had dogs and they never got a response. And I believe it has to do with dosing. And lately I'm working with an animal cancer patient, my own dog, and it seems to be very, very beneficial. That's not to say it would work on everyone. Again, everything is, I'm just talking here about saying that everything is so individually based. We can't say that, oh, it'll work for all animals, all people, this way, it's going to do that. Just as some people can't take Tylenol, other people, Tylenol works with codeine. I'm looking at the codeine molecule for dental care. It doesn't always work. And things don't always work for everyone. So let's keep that in mind. I just wanted to shed a little bit of light on this CBD revolution or movement that's really happening. Let's move now and see which is better, CBD or THC. We just had a discussion around everything is so individual, but I'll give you some reports of what I had found on the CBD.org website. It's projectcbd.org, actually. That's the exact website. And they state, quote, cannabidiol and THC, which is a high causer, are the powerful couple of cannabis therapeutics. They work best together. CBD and THC interact synergistically to potentiate each other's curative quality. And they also report CBD enhances THC's pain-killing and anti-cancer properties while lessening THC's psychoactivity. So what they're saying is when we combine CBD and THC, the THC lessens its psychological parameters or psychoactivity. CBD can also mitigate adverse effects caused by too much THC. Again, you see, we're looking at the whole component here, how it balances itself out. And those adverse effects they're talking about are anxiety and rapid heartbeat that come with THC that people have reported. And they also say when both compounds are present in sufficient amounts in the same cannabis strain or product, CBD will lower the ceiling on the THC high while prolonging its duration. So it's relaxing then and not intoxicating is how patients have described CBD-rich cannabis. And then they also say, and I'll finish with this on this working with the Project CBD, CBD broadens the range of conditions treatable with cannabis, such as liver, cardiovascular, and metabolic disorders, which may be less responsive to THC dominant remedies. See, so each plant, how it's grown, we'll see again, how it's grown, how it's cultivated, will have a different effect. CBD and THC both stimulate neurogenesis, which is really nice to hear. That's our the neurons in the brain growing, the creation of new brain cells in adult mammals. And they have also noted that. So there you have it. The ratio seems to be very, very important. And that's what they're reporting. The next question arises, where do I get clean products? Well, here's what I wanted to say, and this was also fascinating when I did the research. Industrial hemp, you know, people have hemp clothes, hemp, I know I have hemp socks, and some hemp clothes. Well, because that's what they use industrial hemp for many products. But it's also known to have contaminants. And why? Why are there contaminants in industrial hemp? Well, the nature of the plant is to clean the environment. And that is great. It cleans the soil. But here's the other side of that. You don't want to be ingesting something, a plant that's cleaning the soil. And the plants actually look different if you look at it and look at the picture. So it's a good idea when we get our products of CBD that we want to ingest, it's a good idea to buy from a company that has third-party lab testing done. CBD-rich products should be lab tested for consistency and verified as being free of mold, bacteria, pesticides, solvent residues that leak into the soil from industries and for people that are still spraying crops and spraying, even if you're growing them at home, if your neighbor's spraying their lawn with chemicals, which has glyphosate, for example, in there, or any solvent residues when they extract it. They're the other contaminants. You have to be clear of all of them. Solvent residues come when they extract the CBD oil. How do they extract it? And those solvent residues still linger and they stay there. And then the other contaminants are the sprays and the environmental toxins, fungicides, herbicides, germicides, all of that. The plant will take that up. If you'd like to know my opinion on that, you can probably hear that. We have to be very careful with that because it's such a practice that's out there right now. It's best to avoid products extracted with toxic solvents, and that's what I just said when I said solvent residues, like BHO, propane, hexane, and other hydrocarbons. Opt for products that utilize safer extraction methods, such as look for supercritical CO2 or food-grade ethanol. They're the safer ones. Okay, just if you wanted to, just look for that on the label. You have to also look for products with clear labeling showing the quantity and ratio of CBD to THC per dose. Remember, I said just because the ratio is 1-to-1, we don't know what the dosing is. You also need a manufacturing date on there, a batch number for quality control. Select products with quality ingredients, no corn syrup, trans fats, GMOs, artificial additives, thinning agents, or preservatives. You know, it's not really quite regulated yet, so you have to be a little bit careful, okay? Well, how do you get this? How do you get the good CBD products? Well, if you live in a state where medical marijuana is legal and available, you can look for CBD products that are made from high resin cannabis rather than the low resin industrial hemp. That's most of the stuff you see out on the market through the internet. And they're sold in medical marijuana dispensaries. The only way you verify, again, if you have high quality CBD is if your product, again, is third party tested for contaminants and active ingredients. I'm really stressing that right now. And each batch reports its details, its category. And it's best to get CBD extracted from therapeutic cannabinoid rich hemp. Okay, that's a very important word there, as opposed to cannabinoid deficient industrial hemp. I'm repeating this, repeating it over and over because there is a big difference. And it is less likely to contain contaminants, but it still could, depending on the soil that they're growing it in. And you want that lab, you want a registered lab that follows what we call CGMP, and that refers to current good manufacturing practice regulations, and that they're enforced by the FDA. That's important to know. Also, AHPA, which is American Herbal Products Association guidelines. There's also a website. I wasn't going to leave you hanging with this if you need to have some support on this. There's also a website for the Realm of Caring Foundation, it's called. It's a 501c3 nonprofit entity that provides support for families using cannabinoid products. They are a public resource for customers who have quality concerns. And again, that's the Realm of Caring Foundation. Because again, keep in mind that unregulated hemp-derived CBD-infused products vary in quality, and they're also available via dozens of internet storefronts. Many of these products are mislabeled, and when you compare the whole plant CBD-rich cannabis, industrial hemp doesn't hold a candle to that because it's grown for fiber or seed, and it usually has a low cannabinoid content. A huge amount of fiber hemp, though, is required, keep in mind, to extract a small amount of CBD. And therefore, it raises the risk of contaminants because hemp, as I mentioned, is a bioaccumulator. It draws toxins from the soil. And that's a great feature for restoring our poisoned ecosystem. Don't get me wrong on that. It's very, very good for that, but it's not recommended for medicinal oil. And let's end with saying, if you want to try CBD for yourself, what do? I would suggest you do the research. Since research is moving forward all over the world, it's very accessible to get that research. And that leads to a greater understanding of what's really going on. And all the research that's being done really gives us a greater understanding of the mechanisms of action that are published almost weekly. And it's exciting time for this discovery of the many benefits of this misunderstood plant. People used to just think marijuana, oh, it's something to get stoned or get high. But it's also, keep in mind, on the other side, it's not a panacea for curing everything. It's also important to note that significant research has already been done on the safety of various cannabinoids, and that's including CBD. Remember, CBD is just one of the cannabinoids that are available within the plant. Thus far, they found that safety and toxicity profile for CBD appears to be more in line with our everyday foods and vitamins rather than being accompanied by that daunting side effect of many conventional drugs that we see. But consider there are many factors to take into consideration. Even if in states you can grow your own plants, you have to really be aware where and how the plant was grown. And I'm going to be doing a podcast in the near future on the growing of soil and how we really have to look at that, you know, regenerating the soil that's been so devoid of nutrients and nutrition. It's not about just getting soil in a bag and planting. We really need that microbiome to support the synergistic energetics of the plant itself. We also have to look how the product was processed and manufactured and the route of administration use. Remember, process and manufacture deals with how do they extract it? What solvents, you know, is it something that's good for us or not? And then again, the route of administration, whether it be people use vapor pens, people use oils, people use the skin, they use it, they ingest it. There's many ways of that. So again, thank you for those of you that wrote in to talk about CBD. And if there's any questions or concerns about this, I'm willing to take it even further. Well, that'll bring us to the end of this episode. And if you'd like to be notified weekly for our new podcasts, please subscribe. And again, our podcasts come out available. They're available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And you can also access it on the susantaylor.org website, where you can click on the podcast to subscribe. Again, thank you for listening. And I hope to hear from you. I'm enjoying the comments that are coming in. And it's just always enjoyable to hear that we have such, our audience is growing and you're passing it along. So thank you again for your support and your consideration. And until next time, remain calm, consciously aware, living in the moment. Take care, everyone. Mm-hmm.